The NPL show is brought to you in association with EvoStick. Get stuck in.
Welcome everyone to the Heat and Hops for August edition of the EvoStick NPL show. Thank you. We should say, just before we get going, Berkey's got an ear infection, therefore he can't hear high-pitched sounds, so bear that in mind at home, listener. Anyway, welcome to the show. Round the table, we've got the great and good from the non-league world. We've got James Hayes from the NPL Facebook group.
Evening.
We've got Aaron Flanagan from the Trinity Mirror group.
Hello.
We've got Alan Alcock, legend of Northern Premier League football. We've got Philip Brennan from the Non-League magazine.
Good evening all.
And we've got Ian Burke from 26-0 Radio Manchester.
What's that, mate? Can't hear you.
It's all right. Ian Burke. And we should say, Simo is en route. Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian. So he's going to slip into this without any introduction, like he was here all along. Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian. Oh. So, we're a few games into the season now. And what a season it's turning out to be, everyone. Buxton. I always said it, didn't I? All right, it was 3 years ago now. But look at them, riding high. Burke.
Pre-season favourites, aren't they, there, Ben? As you say, they're going great guns. And 5 wins from 6 games. But they've done this before, haven't they? A few seasons ago, they started like an absolute train and just trickled away after Christmas. I hope they don't do it again, because I've got a proper soft spot for Buxton. I love going to Silverlands. And they're a club that could be in the Conference North. The National League North. No problem at all.
And making a late appearance.
Like my tackles.
Yeah, like your tackles. Brought up in the tradition of Manchester United, it's Roy Sewell. Roy Sewell's here. Hello, Roy. How are you?
Good evening.
So, Burke, you were saying about Buxton.
Oh, well, that was it. I've lost my thread now.
Good. Can they keep this going, Aaron, then?
You'd think so. I mean, on paper, they look like they've still got a decent squad. I'm a big fan of that Niall Duran, who they've got playing. I think he scored a goal recently. He's an exciting talent. No reason why they can't. I mean, traditionally, they do kind of fall away, and there are a few teams who maybe might be spending a bit more money than them in the league, but they'll give it a good go. And as I say, on paper, they look like they've got a good team.
And Jamie Green at left back as well, for me, he's the best left back in the whole division, and he deserves a good season with a club on the up.
And you'd think, though, with Mr. McIntosh, what he's, you know, he's like you say, they've been here before and they've had some difficult spells as well. He's going to be better equipped this time round, I think, to deal with it, Ryan. What do you reckon? How do you keep the wheels on it? 6 games in, they've conceded 3 goals, they've scored 12. They're on it. How do they keep going?
They've done very well. I watched them recently against Marine, and they had a couple of lads out up top, but there again, so did Marine. And it was quite an even game, to be honest, right up until the first goal was scored. And even then, they look compact. The two centre-backs, you know, look half-decent. And they look disciplined. They look balanced. They don't look out of shape in any way, shape or form. And under pressure, you know, they're a force to break down.
Early last year, they were just relying on Hardy to score goals. And they're sharing the goals around this year. Is it Walker? Is it Walker? He's got a few, haven't he, already? So they're already looking like a team more than they were last year. Because I think once, early on last year, once you'd nullified Hardy as it was then, they didn't score as
often. Me and you saw Liam Hardy on Monday, didn't we? And we saw what Liam Hardy's all about. Amazing for like 45 minutes. Well, a bit like Buxton, really, last season. Amazing for 45 minutes, then slowly drifts away.
Like we said off air there, when he has his 45 minutes, they go 2-0 up. And then when they sort of nullify him, you know, SC get back into the game.
But there might be like a Frickley thing going on here, where you take the main striker out and then all of a sudden everyone else blossoms beneath. Yeah. Blythe Spartans, no surprises, in second spot at the moment in the slipstream.
I think the only game they've slipped themselves up at the moment is Colville. I know it's really early days and no one in the division expected what Colville could do out of that. But at the same time, everyone expects Blythe to be competing for the league. They've been doing it for the last couple of years, and I think this is what they need to do. They need to be pushing from the word go.
No, but last season they had Salford, they had Darlington to contend with, and working as well, of course. This year, though, they are the best team in the division, and they should go up. It's similar to how FC United were a couple of years ago when they went up. But one thing already that you notice from the table is that Blythe have played four away, two at home. They're already racking up the home games in hand, and you just expect them to be pretty much unbeatable there.
And admittedly, they've got a 5-0 win against Hales Owen, but they have scored the most goals as well. They've scored 15 goals, so they're not scared to score as well, Aaron.
Yeah, the striker Robbie Dale, I think, deserves a shout out as well. Obviously, we know how well he's done.
Does he not get enough attention? Yeah.
He does, but he went in net and saved a penalty. So he deserves a shout out for that. But a lot of pressure, I think, on Blythe this year. It'll be interesting to see how they cope with that, because all right, they have been expected to be at the top, but this year they are expected to win the league. I think that's the way a lot of people would look at it. So there's a lot of pressure on them. It'll be interesting to see, and especially as we say with fixtures coming up, you know, how they deal with it.
Now on the preview show last month, we kind of had a really in-depth chat about Ashton United and what they can do this season, and Ashton United. I don't know who should come to for this one. I'm looking at you, Berkey, being from a Tameside perspective. But Ashton United wants to watch now. Yeah, well, Simo's here, everyone. Yeah, Simo's here. So. Ashton United, pull up a pew. Ashton United.
Well, last month we were mainly mentioning how good Shelton Payne could be. There.
And then he's gone.
And then he went without even kicking the ball.
As predicted.
But there you go. The difference between this season and the previous three, four seasons with Ashton United is they've started like an absolute train. The last few years they've just been it's a really sluggish start for them, and then they've really started to motor as the season's progressed. But this year they've started as they mean to continue, and I do think it'll be a two-way fight ultimately between Blythe and Ashton at the end of the season.
One thing I would say about Ashton is that a lot of the core of the squad has stuck the same, and it has done for a few years now. There's a lot of familiar faces, and they seem to be a lot more experienced now. Even the players who they bring in tend to be a lot more experienced. They seem better equipped, you know, to maybe draw out a challenge on the title.
But 3-3 at Blythe goes to show you where Ashton United are this year.
Great stuff.
Now, we mentioned Buxton being, it's about time. Whitby Town, with a game in hand, we should say, currently sitting in fourth position. Is anyone going to poo-poo Whitby Town? Anyone, or is everyone just dead chuffed to bits with...
Well, I've said on here before, I mean, I like the people at Whitby Town. I think everybody likes going to Whitby. And I would... of course it's for fish and chips. But it's the people up there, and I don't think anybody really wants to see Whitby have a hard time. I'm not too sure whether or not we don't want to see them be promoted either, because we all love our fish and chips, don't we? So, I'm very, very
miss out. Heartbreaking fashion.
That's right.
I tell you what, you league officials, you have a cush there. Whenever I went up there for radio, we always arrived about 20 minutes before kick-off. Never ever got fish and chips at Whitby Town, ever. And they don't sell them at the kiosk either. Yeah. They just sell pies.
Unbelievable.
I know.
It's fish pies.
Not even fish pies, no, just your standard traditional steak and kidney.
Well, you need to arrive a little bit early and get to the chippy outside.
It's not my fault. We'll anyway, so...
Ben, I'm not going to poo-poo them, by the way, but I will say they've just carried on the form that they had last season, at the end of last season, when they had that great escape. And look at this, they're not scoring that many goals in all, honestly. They've got 8 in 5 games, but they're not conceding. They've sorted the defence right out as things stand.
Now, last month, at the previous show, we were mentioning, do chairmen make good managers? Is that true, Roy? And you know, Roy did his, I'm not too sure, you know, protecting his own interests, that kind of thing. And look what's happened with Rochelle, fifth.
Yeah, quality. Yeah. Well, he's not had to face the criticism as yet, has he? So we'll see what happens when that happens, you know. But at the end of the day, well, all good to him, and he obviously must have a decent backroom staff, you know, that understands the tactical structure of a football game.
Apparently he gave them a good half time team talk, because at Colville they were 3-0 down after 54 minutes, and lo and behold, 80 minutes they go and come away with a 3-3 draw.
Then bonuses do
good things.
There you go.
It's all down to John.
So Rochelle have had a very good start, and
one thing about me is that there's a danger that they're going to turn into a one-man team here. Alex Reid's got 6 goals from already out of the 11 that they've scored, so they're not really spreading it around too much. If he gets injured, gets a suspension, it'd be interesting to see how they ride that out.
Then we've got, I'm only going to focus on the teams in double figures at this moment. So next up, we've got Hensford Town. Any surprises with Hemsford Town? We said last month, are they going to do the Hyde United thing, or are they going to do the Workington thing out of the National North? And it looks like they're doing the Workington thing, which is good for Hemsford.
Yeah, last season I saw him a few times in the National League North. Not seen him this year, but I mean, I'll be honest, they were atrocious. They really, really were. So they've obviously turned the corner, change of management. The squad seems pretty settled. You know, at the end of the day, they couldn't have been much worse than they were last year. So, you know, the fans must be enjoying it a bit more. I'll be honest, I'm maybe a little surprised that they have started quite so well. But that's
because it's rare, isn't it? Yeah. That you get a start like that from a team that got relegated.
Yeah, definitely.
And Spennymoor Town also impressing as well, with a couple of sensational results in the last month. Any surprises, though, they're not higher up, or am I being really proper talk sport ultra critical there?
They've started surprisingly well, because, you know, they changed a lot of players, because a lot of players decided they want to stay up in the North East and not travel as much. And Jason Ains, they also wanted to strengthen going up, so I wouldn't have expected them to start as well as they have, actually. So fair play to them.
I wasn't sure, because it's a big challenge to change so many players in a very strong side, because they were a very strong physical side. And it's finding those players to take their place. And they've not actually got the same build. They're a different shape. So I know that sounds daft, but they're a different shape team, aren't they? They're not as tall, not as strong. And
yeah, but that went from the season before where they were absolutely dinky as well. The smallest team I've ever seen in my life. Dinky. It was like
dinky.
It was like Lilliput FC or something.
Can you explain the phrase dinky for our Midland audience?
Oh, yeah, like a very small pork pie.
Right, can you explain pork pie to our members? So, those are the teams in double figures at this moment. That is the most efficient, quick, less edited first half of the show I've ever had the grace to do in the last three seasons. So, thank you for that first part. Coming up in a second, we're going to be discussing the also-rans, and we should say later on, we're going to be discussing Ilkeston and Frickley as well. But before that, here's a little advert.
Fantastic adhesive this sticks like. From Evo Stick.
Yeah, it's incredibly strong.
And it even works on wet surfaces. Pretty impressive.
Did I tell you my lad's playing in the Evo Stick League this year?
The Evo Stick League?
Yeah, Evo Stick are the new sponsors of the Northern Premier League.
What position does your lad play?
Goalie.
You'd better put some sticks like on his gloves then.
Especially when it's wet.
Sticks like adhesive from Evo Stick. Proud sponsors of the Evo Stick League. For details of your nearest stockist, search the App Store on your iPhone for the new Evo Stick app.
So, let's talk about Mikulova. Mikulova, discuss.
It's been very unfortunate. They got to sign Lewis King, who could have gone to several clubs. I know he had offers from other clubs, but he wanted to stay local. Missed a lot of last season, so he decided to stay local and get a good season under his belt. Gets carried off in the last minute of a 4-0 win at Frickley, and it looks like he's done his cruciate again. So, and then missed the Buxton game, which, of course, they had a young lad in nets. They got. I mean, I wasn't at the game, obviously, but Kingy would have made some difference, I'm sure he would. So it's a shame for Kingy, and I hope he gets well soon, because he's only 22 still. You know, he's a talented young keeper, and I hope he hasn't got anything too long term. But it's, you can see from the way they played the result against Buxton, they would have been really up for that game, local derby. And it's hit him hard, I think. I think they'll struggle to replace him. Even though they're only six games in, he's shown how well he can play.
One of the better keepers in the division, no doubt.
One thing certainly about Mikulova is that they're the entertainers this season, it would appear. They concede like nobody's business. But when they win, they win handsomely. Then there's Stourbridge. Now, Stourbridge, I saw them against Warrington Town, and they got battered. And Warrington Town were proper dominant all over them. Then they followed that up with another defeat to Hemsford Town. But then they've gone on this three-game winning streak as well now. So they found the feet, Stourbridge, and nothing to worry about.
I don't think they've anything to worry about. Mm. I'm not sure.
I don't mean they're going to get relegated, but by their own expectations, they want to be up in the top five.
Well, I would think they do expect to be up in the top five. If they're worrying about that, then they've got something to worry about.
Thank you, Alan.
They're only within, what, 5-6 points of maybe the very top. So,
I was surprised with the Warrington the Warrington Town performance. It was Warrington just proper Boston. It was anyway, it's probably first game nurse. Then there's Marine, and Marine have done very well. They had a very good start this season. It's kind of tailed off a bit recently with draws and a loss, but Marine, they're going to be all right, it looks like.
Yeah.
Or shouldn't have said that.
No, they will be fine. They've got the players there. But I suppose they've had the players the last few years, and for whatever reason, it just hasn't kicked in. This year, they've got off to a good start. It's going to give you confidence from the off. And all right, a couple of draws and a defeat, it's not the end of the world. And they'll be absolutely fine this year. I don't think they're going to be challenging, but a good mid-table season for him. It's something to build on for next year.
After the last 2 years, wouldn't
they? I think they would. And speaking of mid-table finishes, Colville Town, boom. I think everyone was a bit worried in the first couple of games, but look at them now, eh? They've grown, haven't they? And Alan, you pointed out, weren't you, in the previous show, that Colville weren't going to be struggling this season, and I think you've been proved right.
So far.
In show one of the MPL show, series four. So, Barwell are, as Alan put it, Barwell are Barwell. Last month, which, as I said earlier, is the most accurate and most profound statement in several
conversations. They've won two, they've drawn two, they've lost two, they've scored seven, they've conceded seven. They are the archetypal mid-table team, back in their place, because last season they were right there to the end, weren't they? But they kind of reverted to type a little bit this season.
And
now Stafford Rangers are an interesting side, aren't they, Berkey? They just three all against Nantwich, four all against Skem, then a boring 0-0 with Corbett.
You were saying that Micklover, the entertainers. Stafford are the jesters, aren't they? They're great fun. They're unbeaten as well so far this season. All right, they've only played one game away out of the five, but they still haven't been beaten, and it says something. A team who aren't getting beaten is a team that's got confidence.
The talk around Staffordshire was that Stafford were going to be quite good this year.
I think they'll be all right this year. But if you're going to have an outsider, I think they might be the one, because they've got a great following, they've got a great fan base, and yes, they've drawn three home games, but they've all been entertaining home games, which keeps people going to games. When you've drawn four all, you're not as disappointed as drawing 0-0, so you will go to the next game thinking, at least I'm going to see some good.
And if it gets a bit tasty, Kyle Perry is a former wrestler, champion wrestler, real wrestler, or WWE, British Spa kind of wrestler. Well, that kind of thing. Yeah, he was a tag team champion.
Anyway, moving along, should I say, speaking of wrestling, Warrington Town, they... I'm sorry. It's because they've got Kilheaney and James Dean up front. They're big lads. Warrington Town, they had a very good start against Stourbridge. Then the form dipped a bit. They've had an okay start. Their aim is to be mid-table to playoffs.
I think they've had a start that they'll be absolutely woeing, because they've had four games on, two away, only got 7 points, and they were the team who we were talking up last month saying, yeah, they'll be up there, you know, and they just haven't started.
It's any more result though, it's, I think it knocked the steam out of them.
We've spoken to Stuart Mellis today, and obviously he's a lot happier this week than he was.
Oh, have I been pronouncing his name wrong? I call him Mellish.
What did I say?
Mellis.
Mellish.
No,
Mellish.
It is Mellish.
Mellish. He's a lot happier this week than he was last week after they beat Matlock on Saturday, got a point at Marine on Monday. And that's coincided, we're talking about Strikeforce, that's coincided with him putting Ben Deegan back into the starting lineup, because Deegs has been on the bench.
As a striker, a goalkeeper.
But I would make the point on Mellish himself. They decided to stick with him, understandably, after he finished the job that Sean Mead had started, but he has never managed at this level before, and so he's kind of finding his way at the same time as they are. So to be about halfway table after the first month of the season, I'd say is about par.
Then there's Workington. Be surprised with the start Workington have had? Anyone?
A little bit. I think that, again, replicates what they did last year. They came strong, didn't they? You know, and they'll sort themselves out along the way. I think they'll be up there. I think they'll be one of the tougher sides to beat. And again, you have this Whitby Town sort of the scenario where teams have got to do a lot of travelling to get there. So I don't think they'll be a problem, but They'll get it round. They'll pull it round.
One thing, I don't know if anyone's seen, they announced today, Gareth Arnson, he's not going to be playing for the significant future due to health issues, which is a major blow for them. Wish him well.
Then there's Grantham Town, and Grantham Town have had a good start-ish for Grantham?
Relatively,
yes.
You were talking about Bowell being a Bowell, being Bowell. You've got to look at his Grantham being Grantham at the moment. That's the sort of position you'd expect him to be in, if not struggling to play one in the season.
Matlock Town, they've had a decent enough start, but Matlock Town, like Bowell, are being like themselves.
Yeah.
If that's a true statement. Is a nice view. And then there's Nantwich Town, who are not being like Nantwich Town at the moment.
Well, they've reverted back to Nantwich Town from a couple of seasons ago and a couple of seasons before that, just stuttering.
If it's really. Like
last season was a fluke.
If it's like that match against Hales Owen, where Nantwich Town were like proper dominant all the way through the first half, passing the ball around at will, and Hales Owen were camped out in their own 18-yard box, and what ended up happening was Hales Owen just scored two counter-attack goals and won. Can you play attractive football at this level and be successful?
Yes.
Okay, so Nantwich you must try harder.
There's some good footballers there. I think Nantwich will be all right, and potential for a playoff push.
Yeah,
I think they're one of the teams down the bottom that you wouldn't expect to be there at this moment, definitely.
But they're another team that are fun to watch, aren't they? I mean, the six games,
They were cracking to watch, the game I watched them. Skelmersdale United, any concerns? They're a bit, aren't they, at the moment? Just a bit.
Well, if you're saying you're concerned about Skelmersdale, but over the last bank holiday weekend.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I grant you.
I mean, they get
4-1 against.
They got a couple of draws away against what teams that we're saying should be doing well in the league. So I'd be coming away from those fixtures feeling quite happy.
But they've still not picked up a win. And it starts to play on you when you haven't picked up a win after.
But do you not think at this stage of the season, it all depends who you're going to be playing in your first half dozen matches.
That's true.
You know, I mean, if you're potentially, you could be playing the top four teams in your first half dozen matches, and we're sat here now saying that there's concern about Skelmersdale.
The gap that gets created, that's what you worry about. No matter who you've played, you've all played the same amount of games, and if you're near the bottom and you're expecting to be near the middle or the top, and you're 4, 6, 7 points behind those places, then there is a concern. Doesn't matter what time of the season it is, because you've got to make that up, and you've got to have championship winning form if you want to get above that place. So I agree, it's not a worry for Skelmersdale, but by the same token, there is that little gap appearing in points.
Hales Owen, we spoke to John Hill, and they've had a hell of an injury issue at Hales Owen. To have 4 points, and I think they've gone through about 5 right backs since pre-season, to have 4 points on the board might be quite an achievement, and to get those 3 points at the Weaver Stadium a couple of weeks ago was very impressive, I thought. So there's fighting Hales Owen.
But there's not goals, is there? They've got 4 from, 6 games. It's obviously their problem this season. Well, then again, it's also the defence, because they conceded 13. If you concede an average of more than 2 goals a game, you are going to be struggling, and so far so bad really for Hales Owen.
They've had the toughest start, a lot of Blyth, Ashton,
Buxton.
Yeah, Buxton, sorry, Corby Town as well. I mean, Corby haven't been necessarily
Rushall, Rushall and Hensford, and that's two.
Well, they're up there because they've beaten Hales Owen. If Hales Owen had beaten those teams,
that's how football works.
Oh, wow.
That's what I'm trying to.
You're messing with brain, Burgess.
That's what I mean. If they've got an injury crisis,
can you tell us about the outside?
It starts with expectancy, like you say. He obviously wasn't expecting to have the injuries that he's had and to contend with. They've got 4 points on the board. And against, like you say, a tough start, what I would say is it's early doors.
Absolutely right. And that's why we've not even used the term relegation at this moment in time. We've not even used it. Corby Town, well, are they relegation candidates this year?
No,
I'm just joking.
Candidates are off boring team on the planet, aren't they? They've scored 1 goal in 5 games, Ben, and they've conceded 3. Oh my God, the football in Mogadon, aren't they?
The most exciting thing I think about Corby at the moment was last weekend's match where the game got postponed, abandoned, because I was down there, I was at Brackley, and the lightning storm was sensational.
Oh really?
And that was the most entertaining thing at the Brackley match as well, so I'm not surprised it got abandoned. But anyway, Corby Town, they're finding the feet, aren't they? But
yeah, I think they're finding the feet.
Nothing to worry about, Alan?
No.
No, good. All right, okay. Sutton Coldfield Town, not had a proper home ground at the start of the season. That's going to affect them.
Mm.
Good. Moving on.
That's sort of Caulfield again,
well,
aren't we? Yeah.
Well, the thing is, Ben, they're back home now, aren't they? The pitch has been patched up enough, and you know they'll start motoring from now on, I'm sure.
We'll come to Will. Oh, we might as well come to Ilkeston and Frickley now. Ilkeston are obviously second from the bottom, which is actually quite an achievement considering they've only played two games. But just to say, I spoke to Mark Duffy in the week just to catch up with some of the issues going on off the pitch at Ilkeston, just to find out what's going on there.
So for a catch up now with Ilkeston, it's now time for our regular feature here on the NPL show, the Ilkeston Report. It's a new thing we're doing as we have Mark Duffy on pretty much every month at the moment to discuss what's going on with Ilkeston. And, well, Mark Duffy's joining us now from the Ilkeston Advertiser. Hello, Mark, how are you?
Hello again.
So, it's a bit better this time round since we last had you on. Ilkeston have now got games under their belt. There's an FA Cup match this weekend as well. So, how's the mood at the club now that things are relatively getting back to normal?
Yeah, I think the fact they've obviously played is a big thing, because they were getting very itchy feet as to when they were actually going to be able to play again, and getting, you know, a long way behind in terms of games and so on. But obviously they started against Ashton on Saturday and looked a little bit rusty, as you can imagine, yeah. But didn't do too badly. And then Matlock on Monday, they got a draw. So, you know, they're up and running and just looking to push on again now, I think. And obviously now they've had the league hearing, which was yesterday on Wednesday. I think they're now keen to just try and move on as quickly as they can and sort of just try and put it behind them, really, I think.
And obviously the league hearing was yesterday, and at time of recording, I don't think we've heard much come out of it. But
they were up for failing to fulfil the four fixtures that they couldn't because they were suspended. Yeah.
It's one of them things, isn't it? I mean, I've never heard of this before. Certainly in the years I've been covering non-league, about 6 years or so, I've never heard of anything like this. It's very uncharted territory for a few people, so I reckon there's learning curves to be taken by all parties, I'm going to suggest, with regards to how to deal with such a situation occurring again. But you say, the good news is that Ilkeston are now playing football, and this weekend they're travelling to one of the best named clubs in the FA Cup this year, Ashby Ivanhoe. Superb. Yep. Ilkeston have had they had a baptism of fire playing Ashton. Better result against Matlock. Ilkeston have got to go through this one, haven't they? It's going to be helpful to get through to the second qualifying round, isn't it?
Yeah, just to get the prize money to help pay the fine, probably. But no, I think it's going to be you know, it's the whole FA Cup banana skin, isn't it? I mean, they're away from home, playing a side of three levels below them in the East Midlands Counties League. You know, they've just got to go and do a professional job. I think they, as long as they need to go about their business as they should do, they should be fine. But then Ashby are going to fancy it. They'll raise their game. I think with any of the clubs who have got ties against sides from the lower divisions, it's the same thing. You just want to get through it and try and avoid a replay as well. Particularly now, Ilkeston have got games in hand that they need to fit into their schedule. So, you know, already. So,
yes.
Yeah, I think they just want to go there and get it done and get through. But it won't be straightforward at all.
And we've alluded to it already in this interview. Duffer's Sport, the place to go for Mark Duffy's opinion when it comes to everything that's going on at Ilkeston. And what else is going on at the moment? Where else can people read what's going on at Ilkeston?
Yeah, we just try and keep the Ilkeston Advertiser website up to date where we can. You know, it's again, we're sort of waiting for statements from the league and the club at the moment to help sort of put some flesh on the bones, really, because the story is sort of a little bit skeletal in terms of what we can actually report. You know, keep an eye on the websites and hopefully we'll be able to keep it updated as much as we can.
Well, Matt Duffy, thank you for joining us with this little update about Ilkeston. Hopefully, the next time we'll have you on is just purely for a fixture preview and nothing about Ilkeston off the pitch.
Definitely.
Thanks, Mark.
So, Ilkeston, though, are not bottom of the league at the time of recording. We've got Frickley Athletic. Now, I caught up with non-league journalist from the other side of the Pennines, Thomas Fahini, to hear his views on what's going on at Frickley.
So, to discuss the ongoing issues at Frickley Athletic, we're now joined by our resident Yorkshire correspondent from the other side of the Pennines. It's Tom Feeney. Hello, Tom. How are you?
I'm not too bad, mate. How are you?
I'm all good, thank you. So, in the past week, Carl Rose has left the club. What were the circumstances behind? Well, apart from results, obviously, what are the circumstances behind him departing Frickley Athletic?
Well, I think when you look at what's happened, it really is the case. The work that Carl Rose has done over the last few years, including last season, which was, you know, now looking back at it, you'd say it was a near miracle how well they did in terms of the budget they've got and the talent that they were able to get in. Quite simply, Carl Rose last season had this incredible spell. They nearly got into the playoffs. And because they didn't, you know, and because they'd done so well, a number of National League North sides started looking at the players. They lost, basically, you know, three or four real key men. And that has, in the end, resulted in Carl Rose having to dip back into the transfer window. He's having to try and get talent in. And unfortunately, with the budget they've got, they've not been able to pick up the kind of talent they got during the previous season. And I mean, you know, when you look at the results, unfortunately, you know, it's been cases where if they'd have got the first goal, you never know what would have happened. But, you know, losing to the likes of Workington, you know, isn't a disgrace. But I think the 4-0 loss at home to Michelover Sports, that was the last game for Carl Rose. And I think that was, you know, basically when he realised maybe the task on his hands just was maybe just that little bit too big, because you look at what they've been able to get in during the window, it hasn't been, you know, what it was the season before. Last year they had the likes of Jacob Hazel, who is now at Gainsborough Trinity. You know, they had two really good centre-backs. And although they've replaced them with decent players, the problem is it just hasn't worked for whatever reason. You know, last year I spoke to Carl and said, you know, was he surprised how quickly they all gelled? And he admitted it was. And I think this year, that's probably the main issue with it all, is these new players have come in and for whatever reason, they've just not gelled. It's not got together. And, you know, when they're in a position where they've lost six games in a row in the league, they're bottom of the table, they've got 0 points. I think for Carl, this is a case that Carl Rose has resigned rather than it being anything else. I just think for Carl Rose, he's a man with so much pride in that team and that club and the work he's done. He feels it is time for someone else to take over.
I mean, he's been there since 2012, I think, and it's got... Frickley have always been that kind of club. And like you say, last season they did achieve so much. The start they've had has been disappointing, but they have played a few of the top, quite fancied sides.
To me, it is just a case that he's looked at this team and he's looked at it and thought, you know what, we're not going to achieve what we did last season, and I think that is going to happen. You know, they're not going to be where they were. There were some high hopes before the start of the season, not for them to go up, but for them to nearly achieve what they did last season. And I just think for Carl Rose, he's looked at this and realised that maybe it is better for him to leave, for a fresh pair of eyes to take over, someone who can look at different talent, try and get those players in. And, you know, the important thing here is this is not a case that Carl Rose has left and, you know, the relationship with Frickley is bad. You know, the chairman, Gareth Dando, saying that, you know, he's bitterly disappointed by Carl's decision, but if he ever wants to come back to watch a game or, you know, you never know in the future what might happen, he is free to do so. So I think this is more of a case. It isn't a you know, one where there's been any animosity. It's simply a case that I think Carl Rose has decided it's time for a fresh start for him and also a fresh start for Frickley.
Well, Tom, thank you for coming on just to give us that update. The search goes on now for manager at Frickley. I know you're covering Yorkshire as well, and I think guys are looking for a new manager too. It's that time of the year, isn't it, where we have decisions like this made. But I feel like for Frickley have been at a level like this before, and they've always come good in the end, and I don't want to jinx it for them, but...
Yeah, I definitely think that will be the case. I think, you know, the important thing for Frickley is the fact that if there is some kind of thing happening where the results aren't going their way and that's going to continue, you know, they're nipping it in the bud early, or they're trying to. And when you look at what's there, you know, there are talented players there. It is a case, though, that maybe they just need one or two more to come in. And whoever this new manager is, I'm confident they will be given, you know, the resources and the backing to try and do that.
Now, Tom, just before you go, quick plug for your work. Twitter, all that stuff.
Yeah, well, it's at Thomas Feeney. That's, I always have to spell the last name, F-E-A-H-E-N-Y. And remember, it's Radio Yorkshire, where you'll be able to hear plenty of EvoStick non-league interviews in the next few weeks.
Tom Feeney, thanks for joining us this week on the EvoStick NPL show.
With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
So, welcome back to the EvoStick NPL show for August, recorded here at the Heat and Hops in South Manchester / North Stockport.
The award-winning.
The award-winning, yes. Round the table, got Roy Sewell, got Ian Burke, got Andrew Simpson, got Alan Alcock, got Aaron Flanagan, and we've got James Hayes from the NPL Facebook group. And unfortunately, Phil Brennan has had to leave us, but he does say the non-league magazine is the best magazine for non-league football ever created, ever. And the new edition will be out shortly. He did tell me what was in it, but I wasn't properly listening. Were you listening, right? We're having a good chat, though, weren't we? But it's just gone over my head.
What were you writing on your pad, then?
I've written Mr. Nottingham, but I don't know what that means. And Dennis Green. And then I looked on Google to see who Dennis Green is. And apparently he manages the Minnesota Vikings. So, well, there you go.
Boston,
man.
He's
Boston,
manager.
Boston United.
Oh, Boston. They don't have an NFL team. Right, so it's now time to hand over to James.
Hello.
For this month's EvoStick NPL Facebook group correspondence. Keep it brief, please, sir.
I'm trying to, but you didn't help out last week about doing the wall. But basically, the question was, with the 5/3/2 games you've played so far, has your predictions to your teams changed, or are you sticking with your bid that you put out? So starting with Lloyd Berry, as normal, prediction of the top 10, but the way we've started, possibly a relegation battle. Rob Lloyd, from what I've seen of Hales owing so far, improvement will be needed to finish in the top half. Tough fixture starting-wise, though. Ian Loomis of Bresley, unbeaten after playing league rugby in Stocksbridge with a lesser extent Belper, it's a good sign.
They've been very good, haven't they?
FA Cup away, deep into best opportunity for some extra being there. George Rothwell from Hyde, had an average start with 2 wins and 2 losses, and both wins at home. Mark Joyce, we put a marker down at Silverlands, and now we're at the top.
What's Joyce going to be like if they stay at the top? Is he going to be ultra smug? I'm going to see a new side of Joyce, I think.
Yeah. David Knight of Frickley, at the moment anywhere above 24th will do. And from Peter Bearing to Sutton, so we do have people from Sutton who do listen to the show. Two, actually, that's about 5 or 6 people now, because I've usually got the moans because thanks to this gentleman across the room from me.
It's Berkey, by the way.
Yes. We are going to struggle this season, but 3 players from Tiverdale and have other signings that haven't impressed. I'll give the benefit of the doubt for now. The performance against Grantham was abysmal. Let's not hope that's not an indicator for the future. Still, here's hoping to we'll stay up.
Okay, so it's now time for our thank you for your correspondence. NPL Facebook group
Facebook
is the place to go. Boom. But it's now time, enough about the league and all that, no one cares about the league at this time of year. It's all about the FA Cup, and the first round qualifying begins this Saturday. Boom! AFC Rushden Diamonds against AFC Hornchurch. Rushden Diamonds have had an OK start in Division 1 South. Hornchurch have had an OK start in Division 1 North of the Ryman League. You have to take my word for that.
I like Rushden. I think they'll do it there.
Good. The best name side in the whole competition, Ashby Ivanhoe. He was a friend of mine at school. They'll be hosting Ilkeston in Ilkeston's third game of the season.
We've got a chance, haven't they?
Ashby have, I think.
Yeah, they shouldn't do it. They're a couple of divisions below, and they should be pummeled.
Wait. This is the wrong show. It's not the non-league show, right? Ilkeston are going to win that, aren't they?
Oh, sorry.
They're going to teach him a lesson.
Well, even then, Ashby knocks out a team from the Division 1 South in the last round as well. They'll be all right up for it. And then this issue with Ilkeston, that's going to be a really tough game for them, I reckon.
It could be, but it could also be a nice little leader into, you know, maybe...
New world.
Yeah, a couple of league performances, hopefully.
Ashton Athletic are hosting Mosley.
Yeah, Ashton Athletic not as strong as they were the last couple of seasons. Mosley, they're doing okay so far. First Division North should be a fairly routine win for Mosley.
Now, for those of you outside of the North West, right, Ashton Athletic are not from Ashton Underline. They're from Ashton in Makersfield. Ashton United, though, they're from Ashton Underline.
The real Ashton.
The real Ashton, and they're hosting Nantwich Town this weekend in perhaps tie of the round.
Last season, that would have been the tie of the round. This season, with Nantwich struggling a little bit.
Still
then again,
yeah,
it's
still
the
Nantwich,
yeah. And Ashton should win it.
Ashby Ivanhoe, move to one side. We've got a better name side here. Billingham, is that near... where's Billingham? That's North East, isn't it?
Near
Middlesbrough, isn't it?
I nearly went there last night.
Billingham Symphonia.
The only team in the world named after a fertiliser.
Manchester City.
A synthetic fertiliser.
Sorry, Alan, it was just a joke. Billingham Symphonia against Ossett Town. And this is quite good because we've got both Ossett clubs. Bishop Auckland against Ossett Albion. All the Ossetts head is the North East. What's going to happen?
Bishop Auckland just up the road as well from Billingham. I can see that being a double for the Northern League.
Yeah.
Well, I don't. If you're listening from Ossett, I don't share that view at all. Blythe Spartans against Frickley Athletic.
That
would be one of the biggest upsets of the competition, I'm going to suggest at the moment, if Frickley managed that. If Blythe managed that. Actually, that's an interesting one, because Blythe Spartans, they're going to stay away from the FA Cup, aren't they, this season? They're not going to want to...
No? They'll take it.
Brighouse Town against Lancaster City in an all-division...
Both teams...
Replay.
Both teams are up for it at this moment in time. It'd be a tough game now. It'd be a decent game to go and watch that, actually, to be honest, in my opinion.
Very, very good team.
Plucky Burscoe are playing Main Road.
Should be Burscoe.
Burscoe had a good... Didn't they have a good FA Cup run last year?
Burscoe, FA Trophy? Yeah, good FA Cup and FA Trophy run last year.
Burscoe struggled this year, though, haven't they?
It's going to be a close one, that. It's going to be... I reckon it'll be a draw.
Now, on the Division 1 show this month, we've got an interview with Chase Town, and Chase Town surely should be fancying an upset here, hosting Grantham Town.
One of the great names in FA Cup recent history, really, aren't they, Chase Town?
9-0 in the previous round.
Oh, was it really?
9-0 they won, yes.
They are one of the great names this season. The great name this season. Yeah, against Grantham.
That's going to be quite a tight one.
There's a perfect opportunity coming up this weekend for the MPL to show the Southern League just what's what, as Colville Town hosts Redditch United in a bit of a local ding-dong.
Mm. That one's going to be tough for Colville, I reckon, because again, Redditch, a bit like Corby and Hensford, they used this sort of level.
Well, they've lost the manager, didn't they, to Hensford?
Yeah.
I think that could be a high-scoring result, one way or the other. 3-2, something like that.
Coventry United against Bedworth United, which technically is a Southern League match, really. Deeping Rangers hosting Gresley. Gresley have had a cracking start, haven't they?
Gresley.
Dunstan UTS against Skem.
That could be a draw. One of ours not so long ago, Dunstan, and spelt wrong on the league website there, actually. Skem not in the greatest of shapes at the moment. That could be a very close game, that, and I wouldn't be surprised in the slightest if the team from the Northern League win.
When obviously all these higher level football fans are looking for their non-league day fixture this weekend, because it is non-league day.
Yeah, it's non-league day, yes.
And they think, oh well, let's listen to this MPL show, you know, to get an idea of where we're going to go. And they see us taking the mick out of a lot of names, you know, and going, Dunstan?
You work for the Mirror. Don't come here, Iron Man. Right, anyway, moving on.
Soft team in their own area.
I think Dunstan, Skelmersdale will be happy to get them back.
Yeah, they'll have a draw.
Horrible pitch there. I've genuinely been.
Anyway, to be fair, this show, the MPL show, you start off with a non-league show. In fact, no, you go 6-0-6, don't you, with Robbie Savage, where he does a token non-league team of the day. Then you do non-league show, and then when you start to get a proper taste for it, then you start coming hardcore and tuning to the MPL show.
And then you do the North West Counties podcast.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. And then you do the MFL one. That's proper hardcore.
I think we'll be lucky if any first-time listeners have got this far anyway.
True. Good point, Aaron. where are we? Evesham United against Barwell.
Barwell. Tough, that. I think
that is tough.
It is a tough one.
Innsbruck Rovers against So Ainsbury Rovers against Sutton Coldfield Town.
I did say Ainsbury really convincingly. Did you? I've never actually heard that. So I don't know. I can pronounce like that as well.
No, Sutton Cold. I say you think Sutton Coldfield two divisions above. I reckon. I guess it's two divisions anyway. I've never
good. Oh, we've done our research today, folks. Hales Owen against Coal Hill Town. Hales Owen.
Coles Hill. Hales Owen will have to be on the metal for that.
Yeah.
Because Coles Hill will be up for it.
Yeah, I think. The home draw might help them out there, Alan, to be honest.
I was just going to say that, right?
Yeah. Hensford Town against Belper Town.
Never heard of them.
Tough one for Hensford, maybe. A bit tricky.
No.
Is Belper? No.
Yeah, they'll be all right.
They've had a bit of a renaissance, actually, this season, Belper, haven't they? But I don't think it'll be enough to get past Hensford Town.
It is a boom-banger-bang fixture. Hyde United against Cone.
If the form's anything to go by, it'll be Hyde. Hyde have been unbeatable at home. They've not even conceded the goal in the three games they've played there so far. Dreadful away. But Cone, equally, they've been pants themselves. That's been a surprise to me, actually, this season, that Cone haven't picked up anything, really. And
I think it's what they've got.
It should be hide that win, but...
I see Cone have got Ben Wharton and Jay Hart up front this year as well, and both can score.
You picked me to it on Wharton there, exactly. He's been scoring plenty of goals for him, but he's the only one that has.
Rattling through this now, Leek Town against Kettering Town.
Well, I'm on for Leek. Because I met the former chairman's son in a pub the other week by accident, and he called it Harrison Pork. So,
okay.
It's named after his dad. The place named after his dad. So yeah.
Pork.
Yeah. Harrison Pork. So.
Lincoln United against Dunkirk.
The Irish.
Right, yeah, with the money. Right, come. Lincoln United have not had the best of starts this season, Division One South.
Yeah, but I think
they'll see Dunkirk.
They'll see him off. Yeah,
I'm going for the French.
Looking for some pun with the word Dunkirk.
This might be your last chance this season to get a joke in about Dunkirk football.
I just did it, but you didn't.
What was it?
I'm going for the French team.
Marsk United against Marine.
Marine,
good. Yeah. Matlock against Heena Town.
Oh, that's a bit of a derby as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a lot of a derby, but Matlock will have enough.
Matlock should do that.
Michelova Sports against Spalding United. Spalding have had a good start to Division South.
Yeah, it could be a nice one, that. Spalding, I think they've got a nice little bit of quality there, so that could be a win for Michelova or a high scoring draw.
Perhaps tie of the round. Morpeth Town against Colwyn Bay.
Hang on,
FA Vars winners, Morpeth Town.
Yeah. Colwyn Bay off the metal at the moment. Morpeth, actually, I don't know how they're doing this season in the Northern League. Mid table in the Northern League is kind of top of the Northwest counties, isn't it? So I think that's going to be a right ding dong, that one.
Yeah, so
is it at Morpeth?
Yeah, it's
That's a solid. They're going to have to be on the metal to get something from there.
Peterborough Sports against Stourbridge.
Stourbridge. Easy.
Pontefract Calories. Bit of a porky team. Pontefract Colliery against Tadcaster Albion. Tadcaster. Is that that name?
Here we go.
Start to tick along a little bit now, then, Teddy.
Radcliffe Borough against Spennymoor.
We'll have him.
If Spennymoor don't win that game, I'll take this little furry cover from this mic and stick it on my head. They'll batter
him. Ruin your own equipment. Anyway.
The only way Radcliffe's going to win that is if Spennymoor don't turn up.
It's going to be a tough game, and we kind of expect it. But if you never know. It's the FA Cup. We've had bad years in it. We're due a good run.
Now this next one, Romulus are doing really, really well.
Yeah.
And we've not done any Rome jokes in a while about Romulus, but they've done really well this season, Division 1 South. Romulus are hosting Hereford. Bit of a payday for Romulus as well. It's going to be a big crowd.
Yeah, it'll be a payday. It'll be the 3G factor if it's going to go Romulus' way. I can't see Hereford coming a cropper at Romulus. But the 3G pitch could possibly give Romulus a bit of an advantage. But Hereford is storming away in the Southern League, aren't they? Already.
Rugby Town against Corby Town. Is there an upset there on the cards?
Rugby are playing very, very good at the moment, and Corby.
They're not playing up to the full potential, though,
Rugby. They're not playing to the full potential, but they still seem to be doing it in Division 1 South. I reckon there could be an upset, definitely could be an upset on the cards, especially with how Corby are doing. And again, if Corby can't get the form, I reckon that could not end the season, but they struggle later on. I guess one of the teams we'd guess would be up there as well.
And rugby played the 15 players.
It's very unfair, isn't it? This is a Northern show, it's 13. Yes. Rushall Olympic are hosting Soham Town Rangers.
What a name.
Wow. Rushall Olympic. I'll tell you something about Soham Town Rangers.
Ooh.
They've been consistently, forgetting last season, but in previous seasons, consistently runners up to the Northern Premier League club that got the Respect Award, the FA Club Respect Award.
Oh.
And I was sat at the table with Soham Town, but they're absolutely pig sick and didn't understand how the Northern Premier League managed to get in front of them every season.
Because we're nicer.
Because we're nice.
They need to be more gentle.
Only slightly nicer.
But Rushall Olympic, if they're nice boys, so am I, think Rushall Olympic.
This one couldn't be further apart, I don't think. Sheffield FC currently bottom of Division 1 South, playing the team currently top of Division 1 North. It's Sheffield FC against Farnsley Celtic.
Well, this got said when in the last round for Sheffield, when they played Ramsbottom, everyone was expecting Ramsbottom to kind of walk over them. And look what happened there, they lost. Ramsbottom have got rid of a couple of players down.
Yeah, Farnsley
was a strong team, but on the right day, you never know, Sheffield might fancy it.
St. Neots Town against Stamford. St. Neots aren't the club they were, I don't think.
No.
They've had a couple of two dodgy.
More anymore, do they?
They've had two dodgy seasons.
Yeah.
Anyway,
they threw a bunch of money at it, didn't they? I don't know. I assume it ran out. I really don't know. But Stamford, hello Stampy.
Now this one's a biggie. Stafford Rangers against Kidsgrove Athletic. Now we're coming out with the management pairing at Kidsgrove.
New
management team coming in.
It should be Stafford though, shouldn't it? It should be.
We don't know,
do you? They're drawing all the matches out, aren't they, Stafford?
It's a thing. Scoring, no, they're conceding.
They'll win that one.
They should win.
Yeah. Trafford against Cheadle Town. This one is so posh. It's a proper. I can't keep up with our posh.
It's not posh. They're in Ermston, for God's sake.
Flixton?
Well, no, they're in Ermston. Flixton. They're in Ermston.
Flixton. It's the posh bit.
They're in
right. This is a leafy game.
It is quite. Right, anyway. Cheadle Town, it was the shocking around in the preliminary round. It was shocking around when they went to Northwich Vicks and turned them over. They weren't expecting it. No one was expecting, in fairness. Trafford, they should have too much for him, but Cheadle, the fighters, the Cheadle Entertainment Town, they score millions of goals, they concede millions of goals. It could end 7-5, that. It'll be a really, really good match, that. Non-league day, that'd be my pick of any game to go and watch. Trafford versus Cheadle Town.
So 0-0.
Yeah.
Whitby Town are hosting Winsford United. That's a long trip for Winsford, that, isn't it? Blimey. Whitby should be fine with that, shouldn't they? Yeah.
Nice weekend for Winsford.
Yeah, Winsford have done great already. This is their.
Oh, God, I forgot your patch.
It's
go on.
Our patch. Winsford have absolutely nothing to lose already. Their best cup run in more than a decade. They've won two rounds to get to this stage. They're made up to be having a day out of Whitby. If they can get them back down to Barton Stadium, fine. But they've done great already.
And while you're talking, Witton Albion against Buxton.
See, I think this is
the that's tired of the round, isn't it? I mean, both of them.
Yeah, bring it on. I mean, Witton, quite happy to be underdogs. They're playing really well, so they're not going to be frightened of Buxton. I'll be able to tell you how good Buxton are after having a look at them on Saturday. I can't wait. I think it genuinely is going to be a great time.
And perhaps, how can I put this? Feistiest game of the afternoon on non-league day in any fixture on non-league day. Workington against Warrington Town. There's going to be blood, guts, mud, all kinds of stuff going on there, isn't there?
The ball's not going to see much of the turf, is it?
No.
Wow! Can I put that in? No.
Yeah, I'll
laugh, though. That puts me in the same. anything to add for that one? That could go either one or three ways, couldn't it, really?
There'll be a stretch involved.
It'll be tight, that, but...
Feisty.
Depending on what sort of forward line Workington have out.
Warrington.
I just feel it'll be Workington.
Well, I don't know. I fancy Warrington. Remember last season, after reaching the second round of the cup, they got knocked out the first hurdle against Abbey last year, and they've got a point to prove. And I don't really fancy Warrington.
Right, it's an obvious question to ask Warrington about the FA Cup. I asked about four different people the same question when I was there. Do you want an FA Cup run? And I don't think any of them who I asked wanted an FA Cup run. They were more bothered about.
So they want to stay up, don't they? They want to. Yeah. They want to kick on in the Premier Division. That's a really tough. That's again, just referring to what their gaffer said, was that he feels that probably maybe playing Blythe away the hardest possible draw they could have got.
And they didn't really stir the ball as well, did they? For that one to be the last one there. It's just anyway.
What I'm saying about Workington Warrington, I can see that being a draw, but then I wouldn't write Workington off in the replay at Warrington.
Didn't Warrington play Workington away in one of the cup competitions last year?
If it was Dudeson, I didn't pay any attention.
I don't know. I seem to remember they went all over there. They must be fed up getting that draw. Well done, though, for remembering
that. It's good. Good knowledge, that.
I'm good, mate.
And on that niche bit of trivia, that is now time to draw a line under the EvoStick NPL show for August.
We're not doing enough.
Yeah, that's a separate show.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. My thanks to Roy Sewell.
Yeah, thank you very much, Ben.
My thanks to Ian Burt from 26-0 and the home of Rugby League GMR, Radio Manchester.
Cheers, Ben.
Andrew Simpson from the Manchester Guardian, thank you.
Thank you.
NPL legend Alan Alcock.
Thank you.
Aaron Flanagan, thank you.
Cheers, mate.
And James Hayes from the NPL Facebook group, which you can get involved with at
facebook.com/groups/CNPL or on Twitter at the NPL group.
So that is the end of the show here at the Heat and Hops. Remember, you can find the Heat and Hops online. Just go Heat and Hops. Look it on Google Maps, the award winning Heat and Hops. It's a lovely
pub.
There's
a train station nearby as well.
Yeah, the Heat and Chapel. So thank you to our host, and thank you to everyone around the table. Thank you, dear listener, for joining us. Enjoy non-league day this week, and have fun wherever you go in to watch your NPL football. Goodbye.
The EvoStick NPL show was brought to you in association with EvoStick, proud official sponsors of the Northern Premier League.
And just when you thought that was actually the end of this month's EvoStick NPL show, just to give you some news since we last recorded the show. I'm recording this bit on Friday afternoon. Breaking news at time of recording, Frickle Athletic have now got a new manager as Lee Morris has departed Goole this afternoon and has now taken over at Frickle Athletic. Whilst at Ashton United, big shockwaves coming out of Hurst Cross on Friday as both Steve Halford and Paul Phillips have both left Ashton United and have now taken over at Stalybridge Celtic. And I think that's all the latest breaking news. So I think it's now safe for this month's EvoStick NPL show to finally get published. I hope you enjoyed it.